This is The Root Cellar on Pioneer 90.1, where regional history and family folklore come together with your hosts, Jim and Jan Stranley.
Hello, and welcome once again to The Root Cellar. The program this week will feature a location near and dear to the Stranleys. It is Buffalo Point Resort, where we have our cabin. You might have heard of the place on Lake of the Woods, north of Warroad and across the border into Canada, but do you know how it all came about? In other words, what are the roots for this location? Buffalo Point has always been a gathering place for the Anishinaabe people, or Ojibwa as we call them today. Matter of fact, in the 1700s, the Sioux also frequented the area to supplement their primary food source of bison, which they hunted on the prairies. At Buffalo Point, they were able to harvest wild rice and hunt venison. It was considered to be a sacred spot for Native Americans because of its lush beauty. I have often stood on the shore at Buffalo Point contemplating the history of the place. How many people have enjoyed the area for these hundreds of years? The early explorers would use the Buffalo Point route on the way to the northwest angle. Voyagers and explorers such as La Véandre used Buffalo Point as a stopping-off point for exploration and trading. Many battles between the Sioux and the Ojibwa took place over control of Lake of the Sand Hills, the original name of Lake of the Woods. Now the new golf course is named Lake of the Sand Hills Golf Course. Chief Iashwash, in 1873, signed a treaty for Buffalo Point First Nation to be designated as a reservation. The treaty was supposed to civilize and make farmers out of the natives. It included a plow, oxen, and farming implements for this purpose. You would think commercial fishing might have been a better occupation for them to learn. Some remnants still remain as evidence of this farming endeavor. There are remnants of an old cabin and barn that are now on the fringes of the 14th Fairway. In 1900, Little Thunder became the chief. He was the son of Iashwash. 6 years later, he died, and Old Jim Thunder took over until 1941. Shorty Warren Thunder was appointed next, and in 69, he resigned and appointed his nephew, Young Jim Thunder, as chief. In 1997, Jim selected his son, John Thunder, as the sixth hereditary chief of the history of Buffalo Point First Nation. Buffalo Point First Nation is a very small reserve and has always had a small population. In the 1930s, most of the families moved to the mainland because of flooding at Buffalo Point, and the children attended Warroad schools. The member families living on the point were the Thunders, the Lightnings, the Covenesses, the Handorgans, and the Powassans. These names were familiar to me growing up in Roseau and competing with Warroad in sports. The Thunders and the Lightnings especially were well known as good hockey and baseball players. The Buffalo Point area, although flooded, remained in the hands of the First Nation tribe. In the 1950s and 60s, after the flooding area started to emerge again as a beautiful place, a few of the members, mainly the Thunders, started dreaming about the possibility of developing the reserve as a tourist destination. The Manitoba government made an offer to purchase the best part of the point, but Jim Thunder, then in the Army, took a leave of absence and put a stop to the transaction. He had something else in mind. I had heard about the Thunder's plan when living in the area while teaching at nearby schools, and I was skeptical that it would ever take place. It would be a huge undertaking, and was Jim Thunder up to the task? You bet he was. He got some investors interested in the project and obtained money from the Department of Indian Affairs to build a road. The money ran out, and they only had enough to build 7 miles, and they needed 8. Jim took out a personal loan for the last 1 mile. The money secured from the investors had the stipulation that a marina had to be built. Otherwise, they would build one of their own. Roads were built to the investors' properties where cabins were being built along the lakeshore. Chief Jim had the insight to insist that the cabins be built well back from the shoreline. After years of erosion, this insight has proven correct. The Thunder family gave the opportunity to the other members of the band to invest in a marina and a resort area. None of them showed any interest. The Thunders went ahead on their own, and the marina and the resort area was built. After they were successful, other members of the band wanted to reap some of the profits, but now it was too late. This has caused some dissension among the tribal members. The Thunders have built up over the years a first-class resort area. Over 200 lots were plotted out and leased for cottages, about half of the south shore and half on the east shore of the point. A maintenance yard with construction equipment was the first major building project for them. Then they built a fire hall and later a new administration office shaped like a huge teepee. In 1992, an 18-hole golf course was planned, and it has been in operation for the last 5 years. It is a wonderful golf course, and we are very proud of how it is maintained. The hotel resort is the last phase of the master plan for Buffalo Point. They have already built a conference center last year. It has a bistro and bar overlooking the lake, meeting rooms, a small gaming room, and plenty of space for banquets, receptions, and conferences. A hotel is planned on the site in the near future with a health spa, daycare, and other amenities. The fulfillment of this master plan is a 25-year commitment to the tourism industry and a direction that is geared to the demographics of the aging population. We enjoy Buffalo Point, but since 9/11, we don't get as many guests as before. Now you need a passport or pass card to cross the border. The tremendous fishing, the wonderful golf course, and the beautiful surroundings make up for any inconvenience of crossing the border. We do not own the land, but lease it with the First Nation. Our lease is good until 2086. The cabin and outbuildings have only appreciated in value since our small investment in 1992. We wouldn't trade it for anything. Come and visit us if you're ever up at Buffalo. Now here is Jan with our Thanksgiving greetings for you.
Hi. A happy Thanksgiving to each and every one of you. Here's a little story that's appropriate for this time of year. Young Simon was sitting in his grandmother's kitchen watching her prepare the Thanksgiving meal. "What are you doing?" Simon inquired. "Oh, I'm just stuffing the turkey," his grandmother replied. "Wow, that's cool," Simon remarked. "Are you going to hang it on the wall next to the deer?" Well, you can kind of see where this is going. I hope you got it, unless you don't have any deer or deer horns hanging up on the walls anywhere. Here's another one. The New England Barrymores were proud of their family. They knew their ancestors had traveled to America with the Pilgrim Fathers on the Mayflower. Over the years, their family tree had included congressmen, successful entrepreneurs, famous sports people, and even television stars. They decided to do some real research and write a family history, something for their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren to enjoy. They found a specialist in genealogy and a writer to help them. Only one problem arose: how to handle great-uncle Jefferson Barrymore, who was executed in the electric chair. The writer said she could handle the story tactfully. When the book appeared, the section about great-uncle Jefferson read, Great Uncle Jefferson Taylor occupied a chair of applied electronics at an important government institution. He was attached to his position by the strongest of ties, and his death came as a great shock. As a novice genealogist myself, let's write our family stories anyway and document those family trees, even if they do include a few nuts. And then there was the lady who was picking through the frozen turkeys at the grocery store for her Thanksgiving meal, but she couldn't find one big enough for her family. She asked the stock boy, "Do these turkeys get any bigger?" The stock boy answered, "No, ma'am, they're all dead." Now, if your Thanksgiving holiday seems to always evolve around food, this one's for you. It really takes place the night after the big day. 'Twas the night of Thanksgiving. I just couldn't sleep. I tried counting backwards. I tried counting sheep. The leftovers beckoned, the dark meat and white. But I fought the temptation with all of my might. Tossing and turning with anticipation, the thought of a snack became infatuation. So I raced to the kitchen, flung open the door, and gazed at the fridge full of goodies galore. I gobbled up turkey and buttered potatoes, pickles and carrots, beans and tomatoes. I felt myself swelling so plump and so round, till all of a sudden I rose off the ground. I crashed through the ceiling, floating into the sky, with a mouthful of pudding and a handful of pie. But I managed to yell as I soared past the trees, "Happy eating to all! Pass the cranberries, please!" May your stuffing be tasty, may your turkey be plump, may your potatoes and gravy have nary a lump. May your yams be delicious, may your pies take the prize, may your Thanksgiving dinner stay off of your thighs. But seriously, we pray that each of you will have a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday with family and friends. That's the important part. We hope you will attend the church of your choice to give thanks to our God who has blessed us so richly here in America. Even if we have some troubles, and we all do, we have so much to be thankful for. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. That's all for today.
The Root Cellar with Jim and Jan Stranley is a production of Pioneer 90.1. You can hear it Monday nights at 6:30 on The Kathy Erickson Show, and Wednesday mornings with Ben at 7:30 a.m.